you're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. Joining me again on this endeavor into the stars of geekdom is Mike the Birdman Dodd and Alex.
Oh hello, my God! We're here on a podcast! Delicious, isn't it?
I know, it's been about 3 weeks since I've had one of these episodes.
I know, it's feeling kind of good to be back, so I don't know when this is airing, presumably this week?
It is this week.
So, hopefully you've done your due diligence and have played through the multitude of video games that have come out in the last few weeks. And hey, Pokemon Sword and Shield come out this week, as well as Jedi Fallen Order. My God, there's too many friggin' games. I don't know how Alex is doing with Death Stranding, the game that takes like 70 hours to get through.
I haven't played in a day because I had so many other things that were pertinent, but I'm enjoying the ride. I'm going to call it right now.
Team of Weirdness?
No, it's Billy Goat Mountain Walking Delivery Simulator 2019.
But at least there's no microtransactions.
Oh, none whatsoever, and actually some pretty cool social aspects to it. But and still, in at least my personal opinion, the best looking PS4 game. So anybody, his criticisms have been that there was that translation issue where he was telling people that it might be too hard or different for Americans to understand because it's not a shooter. And it wasn't like meant to be rude, I don't think, in his way. It's just that those are the games that sell in the States. And it is a very different type of game.
Most American outlets are not reviewing it very favorable. It seems to be doing a little bit better overseas.
Well, it does. It's doing really well. Canada, Europe, anywhere else. The States isn't, but it's a different thing. Europe, they're more used to esoteric games and like weird puzzle games. The closest thing I can like equate it to would be like a Shadow of the Colossus, although it's not Shadow of the Colossus, right? It's just the idea of it being so different from your regular adventure game. But yes.
So have you guys heard of since you're talking about microtransactions, have you heard of a site called microtransaction.zone?
No.
Okay. This website, it allows you to search practically any video game, and it will tell you exactly what it does. So like if I look up, for instance, Star Trek Online on the website, it'll say it's for PS4, it's for PC and Xbox One. And it says, there's multiple categories on there. There's like the free to play icon. There's the expansive expansions icon, minor DLC icon. It's basically loot boxes. You know, the in-game purchases. There's gameplay altering effects with real money. The pay for, you know, instant upgrades for speed and time, paid subscription models, other things where it needs like a real world thing, like an amiibo, or it's a multiplayer that contains additional monetization, but single player doesn't. So like there's all these little different category icons that light up depending on what it is. So for like Star Trek Online, it says free to play, no upfront purchase required to begin playing. But then it's got this thing called horse armor that says minor DLC with no randomization involved, new items, equipment, abilities, etc. And then it says it's not gambling, we swear. And it says loot boxes with randomized contents viable with real money. and then it says infinite money hole, no upper limit on in-game purchases. And then so like those are the ones that are lit up for the game. But you can practically search like any game and it will tell you all of the different functionalities and features that are involved.
What does it say for Death Stranding?
You said Death Stranding?
I can't see Kojima putting that in. But then again, Metal Gear Solid 5 had it. So
Death Stranding doesn't have any of those things lit up.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
It's pretty clean.
Metal Gear did because, remember, he lost control of that game.
Yeah, and there was the whole forward base operating thing, which was a fun mini game, but it wasn't worth spending money on.
This is what Metal Gear?
Metal Gear Solid 5. Yeah, 5.
Five?
Okay,
the Phantom Pain?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got the horse armor one lit up, the infinite money hole lit up, the changing the game, basically content with gameplay altering effects buyable with real money.
Yeah,
the speedy instant access upgrades, and then the buy first, you'll need a contract.
Yeah, basically, remember, for remember Mike how they said it was his last game, but then reality was they basically fired him when it was only 80% complete. So they added all those things after he was gone. Traditionally, he hasn't put anything like that in his games. He's made his games like one cinematic event.
But so yeah, I want to say like there was things you could download in Metal Gear Solid 4, but I think they were free.
They were only in the online mode that had nothing to do with the main game. Remember, you had to download a separate game that used the same assets. So that
I'm talking about you could download skins, like they were free.
Oh yeah, they were free. They weren't, I don't think, paid at all.
Yeah,
it says it said that Metal Gear Solid 4. On this one, because it's on the same page, said it featured free costume and in-game music DLC, but the download servers were shut down. But it says that it's spotless. You can buy the game, you own the game, full stop.
Yep. Yeah, and that was, I mean, that was early in the old like PS3 era, but a lot of games were already implementing crap like that. Like, I don't mind the pay-to-win mechanics when they are in like a single player, especially strategy or RPGs, when there's no way to interact with somebody else to get an advantage. There are some people that want to experience the story or just clown around in those games and not want to have to put 100 or 200 hours in because they have the time to. And if you want to spend $10 to power yourself up to max and then just clown around, that's on you. It doesn't necessarily destroy anything.
This part has been edited. Ha ha ha. You'll never know what was actually here.
And you will never know that anything happened between this.
Nope. Not at all. So, speaking of gaming anyway, I should be getting soon, as long as it shows up this week, I should be having, within the next week or so, a review of a gaming chair. So people will have to look out for that.
I reviewed one a couple years ago. I reviewed a DX Racer. If my ass was smaller, it would have been fantastic. I mean, they're great chairs, but I know you're getting it one from a different company. There's a bunch of ones out now because esports is the hot new thing. So
it's kind of funny having the esports be a thing now, because when we were kids, it was like, oh, you're a loser, you play video games. And now we're like, we're awesome because we play video games.
When you're like esports, you mean, oh, all those Koreans playing StarCraft 1, that was it. Like, there was nothing. Or like, you get the occasional Madden ball tournament, and then maybe there'd be a hockey tournament for NHL in Canada, but it was basically Madden and StarCraft.
And Halo. You would get Halo too.
I'm talking before
Halo. Diablo.
Yeah.
Like before Halo really hit it big, like late 90s, early 2000s, it was just StarCraft and Madden. And you'd have like fighting game tournaments occasionally, but those were small.
Yeah, rarely.
But like, I do remember Madden being pretty big, even like in middle school.
I remember watching G4 when they had that show where they would play like Unreal Tournament 2004.
Oh, yeah.
And then they would just have like the tournaments on there. And I'm like, I play that. Because I started playing Unreal Tournament back in 99 when it was, you know, a new concept.
Well, and that's when the tournament was like, you'd win this computer worth a couple grand, or you'd win like $1,000 in prize money, not like $75,000 or $100,000 or whatever you can win at some of these.
No, it was like, you know, when you're younger, you're like, man, that's some great money. And then now you're like, man, that's a career.
Well, yeah, what? I mean, like this past summer, a 16-year-old won the Fortnite World Cup, and he won $3 million.
I saw that. That's crazy.
Yep. And then kid got swatted a couple of weeks later.
That's the crap. The other
thing is, technically, he didn't win. He did win.
Oh, really?
But no. It's just that he's not of age to accept the money.
Oh,
remember?
Okay, I get
you
it.
Can't. You cannot
win. He won, but he doesn't qualify because of his age.
Yeah, it's considered a job. He signed to a contract, but he wouldn't be allowed to be signed to a contract unless his parents did. So it's like in a trust in his name, right? That he won't get it till he turns a certain age, and hopefully his family doesn't Macaulay Culkin him and take all the money and run.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's spending it, because I know there are younger players for other pro sport or pro esports organizations that are spending.
It would mean the parents would be spending it. They're legally not allowed. Like, you don't have signing rights to a contract when you're under 18. Your parents sign it, so that means he's getting, like, it's like trust fund baby.
It's basically allowance. The Guardian allowing them to be a part of it.
Yeah, and the Guardian technically can't spend it themselves unless there's a reason. Like, it has to go through a lawyer. So it's like, here, this kid gets a couple grand a month out of that money to spend on what they want, so that they don't, you know, I don't know, buy a whole bunch of Molly and die face down in a pool at 14.
Well, that's dramatic.
Die face down in a pool full of Molly. It's just entirely ecstasy pool.
You paint the most interesting mental pictures.
Esports. 13-year-olds dead face down in a pool full of Molly.
And there's the police siren coming after.
Yeah, thanks.
They got a bit of a drive if they're coming from your place.
Yeah. It wasn't from here. It's crazy though.
Very briefly, like, the next COD season for COD World League, now that it's attached to different cities, they now have them in different markets. Like, Toronto picked up a professional COD team this year, the Toronto Ultra. That I didn't expect. I think Atlanta has FaZe Clan. Optic Gaming is out of Los Angeles now. Minnesota got a team, weirdly enough. And the COD buy-in was something like $20 million.
Wow.
So it is not cheap to run a COD team. Plus, that's like team salary, plus whatever you place in the tournaments.
It's not. It sounds like it's crazy, except now you're getting real sponsors and not just Mountain Dew and Doritos, which nothing wrong with them, but they're not, you know,
they're not high profile.
They're not like Budweiser or a car company sponsors, which you're getting to the point where you can actually have. And it's not unheard of for, you know, like Budweiser to go, here's $25 million for the year as a sponsorship.
Yeah. I mean, I know there is a place in Philadelphia, some kind of an esports center that I think is valued in upwards of $50 million.
Yeah. Do not be surprised if Rogers or Bell or
Bell other major... owns part of the Toronto Ultra.
Exactly. And which means that if you look at one of their satellite or cable channels, I guarantee you that Bell owns a channel that will be showing the sports itself. So they're going to want to sponsor a team that they can heavily put all of the games on their own programming, which it's doubling up as television advertising money. So to them, it's no big deal for them to go, hey, Toronto, we'll give you $10 million a year to have this, because we know you're going to have so many million people watching you, and we can advertise all. It's not just Bell. It would be like all of Bell's products, like their TV shows, whatever. If they have investments in other products, they'll advertise the crap out of it. So it's not crazy money. Where we're going to start seeing crazy money is if it ever gets to the popularity of like the UFC or boxing or something.
I think it will.
It won't ever hit football, not in the States.
No.
But it can.
I don't know.
It can hit baseball. It might already be at the same level as baseball as far as viewership goes. People don't really watch a lot of baseball unless it's like near the end of the year. But football will be a hard catch, because in football, you're looking at individual players that are making $40, $50 million a year each. So with that in mind, you've got about 10 years, I would say, or until data caps go away in the States and high-speed internet is everywhere. When you get to a point where streaming and the popularity of, like, not just Twitch, whatever the future of streaming gaming will be, when you get to a point where you're getting 5-10 million viewers for every event, then you're in full sports money, where it's like your team can easily be raking in $100 million a year or more.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny just seeing how it's all playing out. Just because like I mentioned before, like it was such a thing where you were a dork playing games before. Now it's such a big deal playing, you know, mental stamina with other people with just basically moving your fingers.
Yeah, and I personally still don't agree with people that want to drop out of school to do it or go to school specifically for gaming, because that there are some skills that are transferable, some of the social skills, but you don't have skill that can transfer to many other things.
Well, it's muscle skill, and it's like determination and willpower to do it, but at the same time, it's a game.
Especially when, like, if you're an athlete, it means you're strong and you can work in many other fields. If you're a video game athlete, if you've seen the way a lot of these people behave, they're having social issues when it comes to when they do have to get out of the field. Let's say they age out, because Mike, didn't you say that there's a relatively low cap on the age of what these medium, like the median age of these players are?
Yeah, you don't see anybody typically playing into their early 30s, because honestly, your reflexes slow down.
Exactly.
You're not as fast in Fortnite, you're not as fast in COD, or like even fighting games. You're just not competitive anymore.
You're at an age where you start to get real responsibilities, where you can't be up in a tournament for 12 hours a day. Like, you might have families, you might have kids. You get to a point where it's monotonous and you don't perform as well, like you said. Consider this. You now have another 30 years where you have no transferable skills. And it's one thing. Yeah. Some people are really good and they're going to be good at talking about themselves and marketing themselves. That doesn't transfer into, I can now have a career in insurance. It doesn't, like, you need to have some backup. Just like most, ask anybody in professional sports. They usually have things like they end up diversifying by owning property, or they own restaurants, or they own other businesses, franchises. They market themselves beyond just the sport that they were in, because they kind of need to. With these guys, you see a lot of them getting out of it, and then they haven't matured past a certain rate. Now that's not like me just being downer on them. Have you seen a lot of people that get out of it? You see a lot.
Some of them transfer in the social media,
yeah,
but unless they have the background to understand what they're doing. So yes, you can learn on the ground. Yes, it is some very valuable experience, especially managing like a Twitch channel or social media or YouTube. But without the schooling to back it, it's more difficult.
Yeah. And you're seeing the people that you're talking about, Mike, are in our age group. They're the ones that generally had real life experience before this. Think about the generation of kids that go, that's my career path from the time they're 9 years old, that barely care about school. They go, then they go to a college to learn how to play esports. And then they have no real job. They didn't even flip burgers or anything like that. They just literally do this all the time. There's like an arrested development involved. They didn't develop into fully formed people. I fear for them in 10 years when they age out of it.
Yeah, like there's some streamers that I'm fans of, and they're experiencing a slow growth right now, or even they're regressing a touch, and I wonder what they're going to do. They do have some background skills, which hopefully they can use, but other streamers I know that they're still fairly successful on YouTube, they can go, like, they're already a licensed tax lawyer, so if the YouTube thing doesn't work out, I'm a lawyer. Who cares?
Exactly. And is this person in their 30s?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the kids that are 16 to 24 now.
Yes, exactly.
That are kind of boned. Look at Ninja. He killed his career. His career's done. Like, and it was reported.
This is the thing with him. Like, until, I don't know, 4 months ago, never heard of the dude.
I'd heard of him, but I never watched the stream.
And I've never watched his stream either, but what did he do that botched his career? Because, like, I heard about him, and then I just didn't.
He was the biggest streamer in the world on Twitch. Millions of people would watch him to the point where he was getting big sponsorship deals, would go to E3. He was basically the biggest streaming gaming celebrity in the world.
He constituted a very large percentage of watch time on the entire platform.
Basically, what if PewDiePie was twice or three times as big in his field?
And not a racist.
Yes. it was basically PewDiePie, but but captured two or three times the market on Twitch. And Microsoft offered him millions of dollars to switch over to Mixer. He went, and he lost 95% of his audience.
Yeah,
nobody watches. He's lost all of the sponsors. Nobody's watching. He's not only has he killed that, he went moved to Mixer, and Mixer's views didn't go up at all.
So, well, to be fair, from what I understand from the data on Mixer, he does have 2 million subs. That's down from his near 15 million on Twitch. The views on Mixer are up very slightly, anywhere from 2 to 5%.
They're starting to move, but he went there, and the day he went there was dead on arrival.
Yeah, like he basically, like his stream would have an average of around 15,000 people watching at any given time. Now he's, I think, maybe a couple hundred, maybe 1,000 or something like that. It's low. It's a fraction of what it should be. As for sponsorships, I think he still has some left because it's not platform dependent, but he's deleted off Twitch. Mm-hmm. Like his channel's no longer officially there. So they basically Dear Johned him. His value on Microsoft is estimated between $3 and $5 million per year for the next 3 years. But yeah, but he essentially tanked his career. Although
they have the ability, they have the ability to get rid of that contract if they want to.
One of the things he did do, however, is he brought Mixer as a platform into the public consciousness by brand association. So maybe they're getting some of their money's worth through that interpretive data.
We won't really know until this
for at least a year.
Well, if they're going to utilize him properly, he better be used at the X event this weekend.
Yes, absolutely.
If he's not not a huge part of their E3 platform, then they've lost faith in him.
Yeah, actually, I would wonder if he'll do another stream at New Year's Eve, because he did that last year. He played Fortnite at the New Year's Eve ball dropping. I forget on what network, but it was sponsored by Twitch. So if Mixer has the money towards it, I guess we'll wait and see. But another person jumped to Mixer. I think Shroud jumped, and he's another FPS guy.
Like these are the outliers. Where like even though if their success fails, if they were smart with their money, they'll never have to work a day in their life. I do get the feeling though that they're not, because when you see the setups and where they live and stuff, they're living like the money's going to last forever, and that's a big mistake.
Well, because and the thing with them is they live it up, and that's part of the appeal of them, is because people are like, oh, I could be like so and so, but it's not. You got to realize that it's still like first and foremost a hobby that they're happening to get paid for. And especially with how quickly the internet turns on each other, it can disappear like that.
Well, yeah, because you have one or two controversies and you could be canceled real freaking quick.
Well, just the wrong thing and it offend one person. And well, it sends the whole domino going down.
Well, one really good public thing that happened in the last year is Pro Jared, and think of him what you will. I think he's a scumbag, and you can put me on record with that. He had all these major associations now, and as far as I know, none of the major companies have talked about him since. And he had D&D behind him, which is Wizards of the Coast, which is Hasbro, and all those streams down in Los Angeles. He was part of a thing on Twitch. I think he's coming back to Twitch or has come back in the last couple of months. So cancel culture is a real thing, and it doesn't take much to get a thing behind you. I know Ninja had a controversy a couple years ago where he wouldn't play with female streamers because he didn't want people talking about it because it might offend his wife or something. It was some really weird friggin' reason, and a lot of us were like, huh? It was really dumb.
I feel like he did it for another reason, then made up an excuse, and then that excuse was clearly not right, and then he got in trouble.
Yeah.
But Ninja's a kid who has only done this.
So yeah, I don't know if he's done anything else. I know he's like 28, so I know he hasn't done a lot.
Like, if you look at anybody that has made it for themselves and has become super rich, you know what they do? If you're super rich, like a movie star, you keep the houses and all that. But people that have a good business plan live in a modest home.
Yep.
And they drive like the rich, some of the richest people on the planet.
They don't just drive a used car.
Yeah. Because that doesn't matter to them. They want to hold on, do whatever they want with the money. But like what they're not realizing is when this money is gone, when their fame is gone, the way
no fallback plan.
The way that they're taxed for the next several years is based on what your last few years' income has been. So if you go from making $3 or $4 million a year from Twitch or from Mixer and then it's gone, guess what next year is? Next year, even if you have zero income, you're now paying $700,000, $1 million in taxes. And if you don't want to pay that and you can't pay that, you're doing time. Look at Wesley Snipes. It happens to movie stars even. You're based, your taxes for many, many times, especially it, like it's a good thing that that a lot of these streamers have no wives or husbands, because if they were to get divorced, they would be paying them based on the lifestyle they became accustomed to. So you know what the secret is? If you're married and you're on and you want to get into streaming, live in a modest home.
Live poor.
Live poor. Live like it's your last dollar.
Yeah, and like a lot of the streamers that I know that are successful, they live within their means. They're very smart with their money. The only guy I know that I would consider spend extravagant bought two nice cars, but they're known to last for a while. One guy bought a Tesla, and because he's been big into the environment. The other guy bought a Chevy Tahoe, I think it is. But if things go bottoms up, he's got a background.
They're not dumb on muscle cars, and they're not, you know, stupid Ferraris. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like there's one like, girl I follow.
I got a $3 million signing bonus. I'm going to buy myself a Ferrari. Are you fucked? You could buy a couple homes.
Like there's one guy or there's one girl I follow on Instagram, and she just randomly bought a Dodge Charger, which like this or some kind of really expensive Ford muscle car. And I'm thinking, and you only do Patreon. How are you affording this?
Credit, because they think the money's going to last forever. And that's what we're getting to. It's like, this is why if you're going to be a streamer or you're going to be a content creator, you're going to be an independent contractor, work on your own, you need to do, it doesn't have to be like years in college. You need to take two or three very basic continuing education courses. One on accounting, basic personal finance and accounting. One on how to run your own business, basically general business course. And then take one on marketing. If you take those three courses, you'll get enough that you will know when you're in over your head and actually hire somebody to help you. Mm-hmm. And that person will tell you, do not buy a stupid car when you have no collateral.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's why when you get to be like much older, you're like able to pay cash for a used car.
Yep.
It's like, you're not dumb about it.
Yeah, because we bought a used car recently and we paid in cash and got a good deal on it. So,
I mean, that's what we've been doing for the last three cars. We buy them used and we pay cash, and that's.
Cash is king and always will be.
Having a nice car, having nice things is, you know, aesthetically nice, but I've always been more for like, is it functional and is it comfortable?
Yep.
And if those two are there and it happens to be something that's visually appealing, then cool, bonus. And if not, drive that hunk of shit until it, you know, doesn't work anymore, because at least it's getting you from point A to point B and you didn't waste money recklessly on it.
Well, it's like our minivan we bought after we moved. It's got a couple of dimples in it. It's got like one little slight gouge in like the front bumper clip, but other than that, like the paint's all there, the vehicle's functional, everything's nice on the inside. Doesn't really matter. It's the outside. It's going to get peppered with hail anyway at some point. And then when that happens, because Colorado gets hit with hail a lot, because the elevation, they come down like golf balls or baseballs. So insurance pays for all that. So if that happens, then I can get new body work anyway. But people just don't think ahead when it comes to any of that.
And the internet is fickle and you need to.
Yep.
But hey, it's better than a ham sandwich.
Yes. And is that the ending point for this episode?
Yes, I think so.
Better than a ham sandwich, and don't spend your money like a moron.
Yep. So how can the good people get a hold of you online?
Well, if you're looking for me, you can find me. You can find the show at This Week in Geek. But if you want to follow my personal account, I am at Birdman.Dodd on Instagram and Twitter. I do respond to everybody if you're not a douchebag. Yeah, I'm always around on the interwebs in some capacity.
I'm basically, you can contact me through the show the same way, or Alex at thisweekingeek.net. That's the email. Deathface Twig. Contrary to Michael, if you're an idiot and a douchebag, I will destroy you online. I will go nuclear. I'm the nuclear option.
I will extract your spark.
Exactly.
And destroy you.
I don't do it just for fun, but if you're going to be a moron, I will call you out.
And he will, too. So I can be found on the Twitters, and pretty much that's where I hang out, at SCP-21. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.